Well, it's nice to be with you tonight here in Coleraine in your monthly youth rally to share in testimony. It's nice to be with you and to share in fellowship again with our sister Kelly as well. And I would like to thank our brother Colin for the invitation to come along tonight. I wonder would he lend me his watch. I saw him taking his watch off at the start and leaving it here, and I hoped he would leave it. Well, I haven't got one, and I was looking around and there's no clock back there. And so I want just to keep an eye on the old time as I stand here tonight to testify to the saving and keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was great to be here where we heard such good singing tonight. I wonder could we have sung again. I wonder could I ask those ladies to go back to their positions just till we sing maybe 83. We always at home have a great thing. We always talk after the service, what was your favourite hymn today? And at the minute, the favourite subject is, what's your favourite carol? And one of my favourites would be number 83. It's one maybe that's not sung so often, but great words in it. Maybe we could sing it together just before I share in testimony tonight. 83, and we'll stand and sing it, please. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. It's a wonderful thing to have a song or a heart unto the Lord. I can never understand people who say they're Christians and yet they seem to have bother getting their mouth open to sing the Lord's praise. And you know, young people, over the next few weeks you will sing many of these carols. And think of the words as you sing them. We sang there in number 81, in verse number 2, and those words, even as I sang them, I considered them where it said, "Lo, within a manger lies he who built the starry skies." What a wonderful thing it was, the Lord Jesus Christ, to leave the glory of heaven and to come down to this sin-cursed earth to be the Saviour of sinners like me and like you. Never lose sight of what Christ has done for us and what God the Father did in sending his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a wonderful Saviour that we have. Never be ashamed of him, and never be ashamed to open your mouth. We can't all sing like Kelly, but we can all sing unto the Lord. Let's read together some verses from God's Word. From the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians in chapter 2. Some very well known words from the scriptures. Book of Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read from verse number 1 down to verse number 10. Let us hear the word of God. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. Let's just bow together, just for a moment's prayer, please. Our God and our Father in heaven, we do thank thee, Father, for the Saviour, for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank thee, Lord, tonight that he did leave the glories of heaven. And Lord, as the other writer of the other carol said, he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And Father, as we bow in thy presence tonight, we wonder tonight at thy love for sinners like us. But we thank thee tonight we can say, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And Lord, I praise thee and I thank thee for that rich mercy of God that saved a sinner like me. And I ask thee tonight, Lord, that thou wilt help me, Lord, to be a channel only, blessed Master, yet with all thy wondrous power flowing through me, Lord, thou wilt use me every day and every hour. Lord, just use this channel now. And Lord, speak to the hearts of the people before us in this meeting. And Lord, thrill our souls with a sight afresh tonight of God's great salvation. And Lord, take us from this place, those of us who are saved, with a fresh zeal, Lord, to speak of Christ to a needy world. And Lord, if there are any in this meeting tonight and they're not yet saved, and tonight they are still found walking in the course of this world, Lord, I pray tonight by thy Holy Spirit thou wilt lay hold upon them. And Lord, thou wilt bring them tonight to Christ. And Lord, thou wilt make in them a new creature, one who loves God. Father, we thank thee tonight for our time already spent singing thy praise. Now continue with us, Lord, and bless us. For I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Young people, tonight our brother thought I was from Ballymena. He then said I'm from Port Glenowen, and I'm not really either. I'm from Cullibaggy. None of them's that far from each other, but that's really where I'm from originally. That's where I was born and bred, as we say in Northern Ireland. You're born and bred. I was born and bred in Cullibaggy. I don't know if any's went to Cullibaggy High School. That was my playground when I was a child, around Cullibaggy High School. And I was brought up in a Christian home, and my mum and dad were both Christians. And I went to church in Ahochel. Now, I wasn't brought up in the Free Presbyterian Church. I was brought up in the Presbyterian Church. However, I have to say that in Ahochel, in the Presbyterian Church where I was brought up, the minister that we had and the Sunday school teachers and the youth leaders were all soundly saved folk. And they left us in no doubt as to our need of a saviour, and left me in no doubt from my earliest days as to my need of a Saviour. If I was ever to be in heaven, I was brought up, as I say, in those circles. My father also sung around mission halls, and I was taken along to those meetings. And that was my childhood days, days when I was privileged to be surrounded by the Word of God and the things of God, and to be taught the ways of God and the ways of God's people. And in those days, well, maybe it was slightly different from the days we're living in today, in that there was maybe a clearer line of demarcation between the church and the world. And whenever I was a child, I was taught clearly that there were certain things a Christian people did and Christian people didn't do. There were certain places Christian people went and certain places Christian people didn't go to. There was certain music that Christian people listened to, and there were certain music that Christian people didn't listen to. There was the clear line of distinction between the church and the world taught to me as a child. And I thank God for that, because it is according to Scripture. It was not only the traditions of the church, it was according to Scripture, and it still is. It still is. And I can also say that as a child, I had a great fear of God. A great fear of God. And oftentimes, as I would lie in bed at night and consider all that I had heard from God's word and all that I knew it to teach, I often used to lie and be afraid of not seeing the next day and of ending up in hell. I had a great fear of God and of falling into the hands of an angry God. And that was a wonderful privilege to have that upbringing, where I recognized that God is one who is to be feared. Days were different then, young people. Most of yous, I suppose, are only half my age, although I only feel the same age as yous. I don't look it, I know, because I do a milk run, and sometimes in the milk run, the age of people comes up when it's a birthday, and people say, I'm 22 or I'm 23, and I can hardly believe that I'm twice their age almost. But 40 years or 35 ago, things were very different in our land. You see, you would drive around towns like Coleraine, certainly villages like Cullibeckie on the Lord's Day, and there wouldn't be a shop open. And I remember, and I realise I have shared testimony in your service here in Coleraine before, and I apologise for those who have heard before, but I remember very clearly the first time in Cullibeckie that a shop opened in the Sabbath day. And it was all the talk, certainly of our home, how awful this was. This shop was going to open on the Lord's Day. And I remember, I don't know exactly what age it was, but I remember that we had an old sofa there that sat along the window in Pottinger Street, and we were looking out onto Pottinger Street. And the shop that was to open was at the top of Pottinger Street. And I remember the Sunday came when the shop was to open, and I saw people carrying papers and carrying sweets and carrying things from that shop on the Lord's Day. And young people, I remember being afraid. And I remember thinking to myself, what will happen? What will happen? Isn't this awful? Have the people no fear of God? And young people, how our land has fallen into sin. And today, I suppose none of us really even bat an eyelid when we see all of the shops open, more or less. When we have in our capital city now an abortion clinic, and where we have a prime minister who is openly pushing for sodomite marriage, and even that it would take place in the house of God. And that is our land tonight. We needn't any more, young people, look across the world and talk and sing, even as is in our hymn book, about far, far away in heathen lands, because tonight, young people, our land's a heathen land. Our land's a sinful land, and our land has rebelled against its creator. And so my upbringing days were blessed and were privileged. But with it all, I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't saved. I wasn't on my way to heaven. I also went to a children's meeting in the local Elam church. Just was only a stone's throw away. It was only how far I could throw a snowball. I was up the street the other day with the Wayans, and I showed them. I says, I used to stand there, and if I could hit the gable of that house with a snowball, I used to think I was a great thrower. And the Elam church, if I had turned round, I could have threw the other way and hit it. And we went there to a children's meeting called Sunshine Corner, where men were faithful to God's word. And I remember, I suppose, by this time, 9 or 10, I remember one night, one of the brethren speaking on the second coming of Christ, and being very much afraid. And he spoke of the Lord coming, and two being in the field, and one taken and the other left. And I remember thinking, if the Lord was to return tonight, my mother and father will go to be with Christ, and I'll be left behind my own. And young people, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you have been privileged with a godly upbringing and you're not saved, can you realize tonight, can you see tonight the situation that you're in and the urgency of your need to come to Christ? Because the Bible teaches that he will return in the twinkling of an eye. And if that were tonight, young people, and you're not saved, some of your loved ones and some of your family and some of those young people sitting beside you tonight will be taken, and you will be left behind to face the wrath of God. But I still wasn't saved. And as I think back to those days, I think that one of the main reasons I wasn't saved, one of the things that really played in my mind when I thought about becoming a Christian, was the fear of man. The fear of man. Because the Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare. And I remember thinking I couldn't go to school and tell my friends that I had become a Christian. They would laugh at me. They would think I was some sort of a big softy, some sort of a sissy, a Christian. Young people, tonight, you're not a softy if you're a Christian. My friend, my young person friend tonight, it takes a real man or a real woman to stand for God. And God will give you the strength to stand for him if you will come to him and ask him to be your Savior, your Lord. And I went on through then. I left the primary school in Cullibecky, and I didn't go to the high school. I went into Ballymena to school there. And, well, life soon moves on. And teenage years come, and peer pressure with it, and young people I know that peer pressure is a very powerful thing, and wanting to be accepted amongst your peer group is a powerful thing. But sometimes, you know, young people, to be true to God, you're not going to be accepted always among your peer group. And I went on to the school in Ballymena and went through those years again, thinking oftentimes about my need of a Savior, but afraid to become a Christian because of what others would think of me. I was only an old coward, that's all I was. I was maybe involved in as much mischief as anybody at the school, but I was only an old coward at the bottom of it. Oh, only an old coward, that's all I was. And I went on through school and left school. And I was glad about that, I suppose, I would have to say. And I got a job then, working in a petrol station. That was my first job. I enjoyed it. I worked for £1.50 an hour. That was a few years ago. Some of you wouldn't work for £1.50 an hour. I probably wouldn't now either. But that was my first job, and I remembered I worked long hours, and I remember the first time I got paid was £106. And, well, you can do the math yourself as to how many hours I was doing. I was working brave long hours at £1.50 an hour, and there was no overtime rate. But I thought it was wonderful. I have money now. I have money now. Because, well, people talk today about times being hard, and they talk about recession, and they talk about all these things and all that anybody has no money. Wait, I tell you something, young people. You all have far more than you see us. Well, maybe Colin's in my age bracket, I don't know, and one or two others maybe. Yous have all still far, far more than any of us ever had when we were children. I remember that, you know, the wee football stickers that used to come out? I used to follow football teams too. And you had the wee stickers that you stuck in the boot. I used to say, "Mommy, if I washed the car for you, would you give me 6p? Would you give me 6p so as I could buy a packet of football stickers?" Because there was no pocket money. If you wanted money, you did something. And you earned it. And anyway, that was life. And that was me. I had left school now and I was earning money. And I got my first car. And then, young people, you begin then to throw off the shackles a bit. And you begin to think and to see the things of this world, and they begin to dazzle you. And I get into the things of the world. And I left that job and went to work where I still work today in Deal Farm. And I work there and get new friends and get deeper and deeper into the things of the world. And the time came then where I stopped going to the house of God at all. And I was just doing, as the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 2, I was walking according to the course of this world. That's all I was doing. Just working through the week, living for the Saturday night. And then the Saturday night becomes the Friday and Saturday night. And then the Friday and Saturday night becomes the Thursday, Friday and Saturday night. And then it becomes a Sunday as well. And you just sink deeper and deeper into sin. And that was my life. And then in verse number 4 of Ephesians chapter 2, we read those wonderful words from God's word. And always when you read these two words, young people, think about what you're reading. It says, "But God." But God. And I was living life in rebellion against God, with little thought of Him, with little thought of all that I had been taught as a child, really. Until one Sunday morning, God spoke to me, broke into my life. And I praise God for that. And many a time, my wife and I speak to each other concerning these things, for she was in sin as well before she was saved. And many a time we say to each other, "Where would we be if God hadn't saved us?" And I was lying in my bed on the 22nd of May 1994, and I wasn't in good form, because, young people, listen, There may be people who tell you about the pleasures of sin, and the Bible even tells you that there are pleasures in sin for a season, but the Bible also tells us the way of the transgressor is hard. And many a Sunday morning, maybe a Saturday morning too, I spent worrying about what I had done the night before. I spent in misery, feeling sick and feeling unhealthy, and trying to struggle on. You know, the world and the devil, they dress up this world as if it's wonderful and a place of wonderful fun. But I tell you now, while there's pleasure for a season, it's a short season. And the way of the transgressor is hard. And I was lying in my bed that Sunday morning, and God spoke to me. My mother came in the door of my bedroom, and she says, "David, would you go to church today?" I was 22 years of age by this stage. I says, "No, Mum, I'll not go to church. Wonderful to see you here tonight, young people. So many of you in your 20s, it's wonderful that you're in the house of God tonight." I says, "Mum, no, I'm not going to church. I had stopped going to church." And she didn't say anything else. She just closed the door and went out again. But as soon as she left the room, young people, God came into that room. And God spoke to me. And God said to me, David, your life's in a mess because of sin. And David, you're on your way to hell because of your sin." And that day I was under what we know as conviction of sin. All day, I didn't get out of bed. All day. It came time for the evening service, and my mother came in again. And she says, "David, will you come to the evening service?" He says, "No, Mom, I'll not. I'm not going." And she went out again and left it at that. But the next morning, when I got up, or through the night, I was convicted of sin. But the next morning when I woke, the first voice that I heard was the voice of God: "David, you need to be saved." But you know, young people, with the voice of God, what comes also the voice of the devil, because the devil hates mankind. And while God was speaking to me and urging upon me my need of salvation, the devil was speaking, "David, not yet. David, you'll make a fool of yourself. You'll never keep it. You'll fail and you'll be a failure, and folk will laugh at you. How would you ever be a Christian? You'll have no friends. You'll know nobody. You'll ruin your life. Have nothing to do with it." But God spoke on. And God spoke to me that morning, and I would need to hurry up. I know time's flying on. And God spoke to me that morning through the words of a hymn that my dad used to sing, entitled "God's Final Call." And young people, I was 22 years of age, but God said to me, "David, it's now or never. Now or never. God's final call." The Bible teaches that God's Spirit will not always strive with man. And that morning, I went into my little milk float, and I set off on my milk run, but God broke me, and God saved me. And just as I headed out the Brasheen Road to Michelin to deliver the milk there, I just cried the sinner's prayer. All I said was, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." I didn't stop my milk float. I didn't close my eyes. I just said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And I knew that if I was prepared to repent of my sin, I knew that what Jesus Christ had done on the cross was enough to save me. I didn't know all that much all about the redemption that Christ purchased there. I didn't know all the details that the Bible taught. I didn't need to. But I knew that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save sinners. And I knew that if I would repent of my sin and call upon him to save me, then the Bible says that he would save me. And that morning God saved me. And I went back into Deal Farm, still a coward, still trembling, because I knew the first people I had to see was my mates. And I knew that I had to confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. And I prayed hard the whole way around, Lord, help me. Help me to tell my friends. And I went down into the bays, as we called them, in Deal Farm, and there one of my friends was working away. And I went in, stammering, stuttering, and said, Jason, I get saved today. And he said, what? And I think I was stammering, I was stuttering so much, I don't think he really half understood what I said. I says, I get saved this morning. He says, did you? I says, aye. And as I always say, and the Lord did a wonderful thing, because Jason went and told all my other friends for me. And they just come over, on and off, they popped over and says, did you become a Christian? I says, aye. And young people, that was just the beginning, and time was really going very quick. And that is only the beginning. That was in 1994, on the 23rd of May. It was the day before my brother Tom's birthday. Many of you know my brother Tom. He's now a minister in the Free Church. His birthday was the 24th of May, and my spiritual birthday is the 23rd of May. And the Lord saved me, and life changed. And I went back to church. And you know what, young people? Church became a different place. And the hymn book became a different book. Because now I like to sing. And I love to hear men explaining the scriptures. And I love to read the scriptures at home. And I love to pray and I love to seek God. Because I was a new creature in Christ. And in those early days, I just wanted to soak up the Word of God, and I went to Bible studies and other places, and I fed upon the Word. And I didn't realize it, but I was doing exactly what God commands young people to do. Because God says that we as newborn babes ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word. And as young people here tonight, get into the Word of God. Soak yourselves in it. The whole book, get into it. Get commentaries on it. Give yourself to the study of God's Word. Because we live in a world that is so far from God's Word and from God's ways that the only way you can live as a Christian ought to live in this world is to be guided and instructed by this book. This book. Listen, young people, don't even look to other young people in the church. Don't even look to other Christians, although some of them are fine examples. Get into this book. Get into the book. And ask God to guide you in how you ought to live for him. I could go on a while, but I'm not going to, for it's 10 o'clock. But listen, I turn from my sin in repentance at the point of conversion, but God was only beginning to show me things in my life. And God began to put his finger in other areas of my life that weren't right. Things I was watching, things I was doing, all sorts of things. And God would speak to me, and then it would be up to me to obey the voice of God. And I realized from an early days as a Christian, because God spoke to me in a verse in 2 Chronicles. And it was at a youth fellowship weekend that God spoke to me through it as I was having my own quiet time. And there were things happening on the Sabbath day at a youth fellowship weekend that weekend that shouldn't happen on the Sabbath day. And you know, I failed to speak out for God. Our brother here prayed at the beginning that sometimes we have to speak out for God. And I failed God that weekend. I should have spoken out against what was happening. And I was praying for God's blessing and I was seeking for God's blessing. But you know what God said to me as I did my quiet time? God said, "Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper?" And young people, you are the future of the Free Presbyterian Church. And if we in the Free Presbyterian Church, I didn't even get time tonight to go to how I happened to be in the Free Presbyterian Church, now that's a different story. But if we in the Free Presbyterian Church are to prosper spiritually, if we are to see this land changed by the power of God, and I'm sure many of you have that desire, then we must get back to the book. And we must stand upon it and upon it alone. And we must cry again as our reforming forefathers cried, sola scriptura. Scripture alone as our sole rule of faith and practice. God said, that we must walk in his ways if we are to know his blessing. And we must realize that afresh, young people, because the one thing that the Church of Jesus Christ needs, it's good to have musicians, it's good to have comfortable seats, it's good to have all these things, there's nothing wrong with it, but you know the only thing that it really needs is the blessing of God. Blessing of God. And you young person with your life before you, you know the only thing you really need? The blessing of God. That's all. Everything else will fall into place. I close tonight with the words of the verse in 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm sure the Olympics are now over, but I'm sure you were all tuned in to the Olympics. I know some were even there in outreach. But you remember the story of Eric Liddell. And how Eric Liddell in the Olympics, I can't remember exactly the year, but it was way in the early 1900s. He was to run in the 100 metres, but the 100 metres was to be in the Sunday. And Eric wouldn't run because Eric was a Christian and Eric sought to obey God. And before he ran in the 400 metres, the American trainer slipped a little piece of paper to Eric. And Eric opened the little piece of paper and on it he had written down that verse in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I think it's verse number 20. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 30, where God said, "Them that honour me, I will honour." And I was taught that verse, young people, as a child. And you know, now at the age of 40, I'm learning more and more of its truth. Them that honour me, I will honour. Young people, I'm sorry for having gone on over time. Honour God in your life. It'll not always be easy. It's not for me, and it won't be for you. But God says, honour me, and I will honour you. May God bless his word to our hearts tonight. Let's pray, please.